Parte Nosso is really long, but most of it's all repetition. And bless, though, three quarters of it is just going through the same psukim, all the gifts in the Nisim, all the offerings they gave, and it's over and over again. It's a six psukim that you say over and over again. And here's an example of it. We're going to talk about Dan. So we're going to talk about Yom HaSivi, the 10th day. Nasiv Ne Dan. Achiez Ben Meshadai, the 10th day, was the prince of Dan. Kabernot Kar Kesav Achan. He brought one platter, Shloshim Meash Mishkala, weighing 130 shekels. Mizrak Echad Kesef, a silver blood-throwing bowl. Shivim Shekel, Shekel Kodesh, of 70 shekels. Shnehem Leim Solet. Both of them full of flour and oil for a mincha offering, and goes on for a couple of psukim, and then finished up with the shlamim for the barbecue. Two oxen, chamisha atudim, five goats, chamisha elim, chamisha, five rams, atudim, chamisha, five goats, kvasim, nesha, chamisha, five lambs, zek, benachez, mishadai. Then you just repeat this 12 times over. And the usual explanation for why the Torah treats it is because while the items were identical, each Nasi had his own kavan, his own intention with all the meaning, and they were all symbolic of something. And the Torah wants to say that everyone has their own approach, and everyone's approach is legitimate. We're not going to leave anybody out.
But if the psukim are identical, like what they brought was the same?
Yes.
Yeah, so I still feel like that still begs a question.
Yes. So we're not going to necessarily answer that, but we're going to say that the usual answer is that everyone had a different intention in there. They're all symbolic, and they all, by an amazing coincidence, they all came up with the same, this is what we want to bring. Or perhaps they all planned it. The Torah still mentioned it all separately rather than saying each one brought the following and be done. And this way, the Sfarna puts it, Ramban says the same thing. Each one of them brought all sorts of offerings. L'chanech ha-mizbeach u'mesharatav, to inaugurate the mizbeach and his servants, b'chol minei karbanot, and all the different kinds of offerings. Siper ki harbanot kol echa v'hem mehem levado, and it lists every single one individually. Lo shekol echa mehem kiven, that each of them had their own intention, l'chaper al-patech ha-taim, for their own sins, their own individual issues. Hebrew b'shivto, that happened with their tribe. And so it's more interesting, is that the Bamidbar Rabbah, the Midrash Rabbah, explains each one. Goes through every shevet, says how it connects to the bracha that Yaakov gave them, and for their destiny as a tribe and the nature of their tribe, and goes through every single item and what the symbolism is of the plate that was 130 shkalim and the bowl that was 70 shkalim. I mean, it's a huge. I mean, Bamidbar Rabbah is twice as long as the other rest of the Midrash Rabbah, and it's all Nasso.
But he's giving a different explanation for the same things that they brought.
Right. Each one has a different explanation for the same things, right? And we're going to talk about that.
And so, like, what's... Okay.
If you look at Rashi basically just explains the Sechar's one, which connects it to learning Torah and the history of the world. And Yehuda reflects the Malchut and all the symbolism there. And we're looking part at Dan, plus that's what it actually connects to the rest of the parsha. So this is in part, this is the Midrash Rabbah on Dan's portion. Starts out, Yom HaSivi Nasiv Ibnei Dan, Achiez Ben Meshaddai, and the 10th day was Dan's, with the prince of Dan, Achiez Ben Meshaddai, Harei Notu Shlosha Shvatim. So by the 10th, there were three tribes left, Dan, Asher, and Naphtali, for the children of the Shvachot. Oh, here we go. It says it. Dan, Basher, Naphtali. And Mara, Dan, Lakriv, Tichli, Lahem. And why is Dan first? And the answer is because Dan was the leader of his camp. You know, there are four camps around the Mishkan. On the east side was Yehuda. South was Reuven. North was Ephraim. And west was, east was Yehuda. And west was Dan. The back of the camp. He's really asking, why was Dan the leader of his camp? Of the four camps that are around the Mishkan. And the answer is the fisha aviv hikisha Yehuda, because his father, because Yaakov in the brachos, likened him to Yehuda. Tema, as it says, this is the bracha of that Yaakov gave to Dan. Dan yadir amo k'achad shivtei Israel. Dan will judge his people like one of, or k'achad, like the one of the shvatim, like the big one, like the major, the leader of the Yehuda. Miuchad b'shvatim, like the unique one among the shvatim, ze Yehuda. Therefore, Dan was the head of those that were left. Dan was the back. He was the leader of the back ones. Same Yehuda Haya Rosh the Kulam, just like Yehuda was the head of all of them. And that's what it says in last week's Parsha, the Degel Machane Dan, Sefer HaSivatam, that the camp under the flag of Dan was in the north. Okay, I guess it was prime in the west. We mentioned Achiezer ben Mishadai before. He's the prince. Machonim Alav, Asher, Matei Naftali, etc. Kol Bgdim Machane Meidan Mat Elef Ushvim V'Chamisha Elef V'Shesh Meot. Lachrona Yisu, and they traveled last on Amon and all the flags. That'll be important. Remember that. So Yaakov's bracha to Dan. Now the Medrash is going to deal with has two parts. The first one is. What we quoted, Danya is in source 5, Danya dinamo kachad shiftei Yisrael. Dan will judge his people just like one, as just like the unique one among the Shvatim. Dan would be an important leader of Bnei Yisrael. And then he compares him to a snake, which is not quite as flattering. He done nachash alei derech, that Dan will be a snake in the path. Shivifon alei orach, a viper along the way. Noshech ikvei sus, who bites the heels of the course.
I always thought that was a weird one.
It is a weird one. But you pull Rachel and the rider falls backwards. And Rashi says, what's that referring to? Who's the most famous son of Dan? The test.
Oh, Shimshon.
Yes, very good. That Shimshon
that's
is...
because I'm reading your notes. My brain is like, I'm really only engaging with the parts that you're instructing me right now. I'm not able to recall from long-term memory. Unfortunately, at this moment, but it was helpful that you have it in the notes.
I wrote it down.
But no, I knew that makes sense.
So that's what the Midrash goes through, every single one, and it goes to Dan's, tell you that all of Dan's offering and the bracha were all talking about Shimshon, which is the one we think about from the Shevet Dan, and the Nazirut, which is a connection to the Parsha, because this Parsha is all about Nazir. In this parasha, and the Haftorah is about Shimshon and his Nizirut. It goes back and forth. That all the symbolism of all this offering is goes between Shimshon and the laws of Nazir. And we'll sample that here. Raise he creep kavano connected Shimshon. So this is Midrash Rabbah on Dan's offering. He gives his offering connected Shimshon, corresponding to Shimshon. The Shibisha Birkat Yaakov Ladan Lohaita Ella Al Shem Shimshon, because Yaakov's bracha was all about Shimshon. We're all connected to that. Yaakov gives this bracha. This is the destiny of your tribe. And they reflected that in the offerings they gave in the eyes of the Medrash. Gam Gruvat Shimshon Lohaita Tulia Ella Benizirutto, and his strength was dependent on his being a Nazir. Lachach Hikrib Nasi Dan Al Sidazia. That's why he gave these things. And he's going to give some midrashic explanations. Hadubati, it says, Karbono Kar Kesef, his offering was a silver platter. The Veya Nazir Tahara, Lachakar Lokara, that because a Nazir who has stayed pure brings the following offering that's called a para plate, Shehu Hayamibi Lechem. Because the part of the carbon of a Nazir was to bring lots of bread. Yeah, Shlomi's got to share with everybody. And the
Marashi. Yeah. She didn't say nothing.
She just said, "Do I want to cook them?" I said, "Yeah." Hi. Marzu, the commentator on the Midrash, says that we see in this week's parsha, it's a sal matzot, the basket of matzah and mokay matzot and rolls. Rakara romez alechem, that the plate is a symbolic of the bread that he's bringing. That's who brings the kara. And shoshu mea mishkala, and it has it weighed 130 shkalim. Why? Because the entire parsha of the Nazir from Zotarat to Nazir, Abacha Yishtan Nazir Yayin, from the beginning of this is the procedure for the Nazir until it says then the Nazir can drink wine again after the end of his Nazirut, is Meo Shoshim Tevot, is 130 words.
I always find connection's like interesting.
Right. Now this is very midrashic, and I know it's like, is that really, do they really count the words in the Torah before they gave the Torah there? Interesting, but at least seeing a hint in here about the Nazir, about the laws of Nazirut in his offering. That Dan is symbolized by the Nazir. That comes by bottom line. And then he brings in Mizrach, which is a basin where they threw the sprinkled the blood with. Al Shem Bayipol Roch Ba'achor, because this bracha of the rider falling backwards. He's Jorik. Shimshon throws the rider off. That's where he brings in Mizrach. Roma Shivim, and why 70 Shkalim for the weight of that? Connected Shivim Otio, Tamrot, Bibrikat Dan, because if you count the number of letters in the bracha of Dan, it's exactly 70. Again, I take their word for it, I didn't count it. And similarly, you bring he brings five kinds of animal, three kinds of animals, Elim Chamisha, Tudim Chamisha, Kvasim, Nesha, Shana Chamisha, Kvash Lamim, Lama Shlosh Minim, why three different kinds? Kneged Shloshim Minim, Shal Kabanot, Shemevi, Nazir, Tum'ah, because of the three different Kabanot that a Nazir has to bring. Now, Racher, also, you could, another way of looking at it, Lama Shlosh Minim, Kneged Shlosh Pamim, Shihika Shimshon, Bukhishtim, Bahaya, because of the three times that Shimshon fought the Plishtim. That's why it brings three Kabbalah. Again, it's symbolizing both Shimshon and Nazir in general. So this is what I thought was interesting. And this is reading straight from Art Scroll's commentary. If your Art Scroll says so, it must be okay. Why did the leader of Dan invest his offerings with allusions to Nazirut, not just to celebrate the illustrious Nazirite destined to emerge from his tribe? He did so in recognition of the fact that Dan's special quality, its unique contribution to the spiritual wholeness of the nation, is the outside potential of a single Jew. What does Nazirut mean? Capacity for individual achievements to alter the face and improve the lot of the entire nation. Nazirut in general and Shimshon in particular exemplify this quality. And Shimshon was a one-man army. That Dan's sort of role, literary role throughout Tanakh, is to be the individual. For the power of one. His brother says his Jew represents the power of individual engaged in his private affairs to protect and perfect the entire nation. His Jew is the idea that anybody can have the ultimate level of holiness. And this theme runs through Chal Tanakh. You see Dan, looking for these kind of literary themes, that Dan is the one who represents is of the tribes. Yehuda is having the leadership, Yosef is the community, Dan is the individual. Yaakov's children go down to Egypt. Dan has one.
Where did you get that from?
Well, mostly I said that Art Scroll said so.
The last thing that you said, that like Yosef is community.
Okay, that is a separate. I'm not going to have time to go in through those kind of symbolisms there of the four parts of the camp, and each one has a kind of.
But it's from that. It's part of like having to do with where they're camping. I don't think I ever learned this like in depth, so I don't really know. But okay, no, that's fine.
I mean, if you look at the distinction between Yehuda and Yosef, classically, and to get Kabbalistic between Malchut and Yesod, be the Yehuda, Yosef being the people as a whole, representing the people, and Yehuda is the elite, the leadership.
Uh-huh.
That contrast comes up throughout Tanakh.
Right. Okay.
If you're gonna pay attention to the Tanakh Shir, we're gonna talk about it with the split of the kingdom, and why it becomes a problem. And the question: where does Dan fit in? Dan, in this way of looking at it, is the individual. That's Shimshon is the ultimate example of the one man army. But even when they just go down to Egypt, they go down, right? Elish Shmupin Yisrael Bei Mitzrayim, Yaakov Banav, and it lists all the Shvatim, all of Yaakov's sons, and all their children. Uvnei Dan Hushim, and the children of Dan was one guy, Hushim. He has one son. And when they enter Eretz Yisrael, 250 years later, Dan hasn't split into sub-tribes. There's not multiple tribes. This is in Shabbat Pinchas. Eil b'nei Dan l'mishpachotam. These are the children of Dan for all their families. L'shucham mishpach l'shuchame. So Hushim's name as a family unit has changed to Husham, but they're just the one. Eil l'mishpachotam l'mishpachotam. That's it. There's one family there. But still, Kol Mishpachot Chushamim Kudehem Arba V'Shishim Elef. They're 46,400. It's one of the largest tribes, but still they don't. It's not made up of multiple families. It's a tribe of individuals. There's a Chavos Chaim talking about this. That Ken Kangal Talot Torah Ki Ein Chachmo Meitzad Negav Hashem. That we can't predict how things work for Hashem. Binyamin haya asara banim. Binyamin comes down with 10 sons to Egypt, and Dan has just the one, and still, when they come up, Dan is the one that's got the lots of people, and Binyamin is actually has fewer people than anybody, one of the smallest tribes. Lots of families, but fewer people. Dan has lots of people, but just one family. He doesn't have groups. They're a tribe of individuals. And that's what Nazirut is all about. The Nazir is the one who's going to say, I'm going to make my own Torah. I'm taking a neder. That's what neder is. And this is our parsha about Nazirut. Go speak to the children of Israel and tell them, Isha Ishak, Yafli Lindor Neder, Lazir, Nazir, Lazir, Lashem. Man or woman who says a neder, a vow to be a nazir. What does nazir mean? And the neder says, Yazir, any zirut b'chomakom ela prishu. Nazirut means said to be separate. And it says, Binazrumi Kachev in Israel, they will separate from the Kohanim will separate themselves from all the Kachim, the things that are sanctified from Israel. So to the Nazir is separate. And he does that by B'yayim Shechar Yazir, who will separate himself from wine and strong drink, Chometz Yayin, and vinegar, Le'eshteh, etc. And Kohen Yisrael, Tarlo Yivor Hashem, doesn't cut his hair. Kohen Yisrael Hashem, Al-Nefeshet Mit Le'evo, he doesn't, can't have Tuma. And this is the way Art Scroll puts it, that separation is a fundamental aspect of Nazir. Now we see this from the basic meaning of the word, right? It's mean, Nazir means to separate. It's evident as well from the laws in Nazirut, which separate the Nazirite from the ranks of ordinary people and from the stream of everyday life. You can't party with anybody else. You can't join their simchas or their funerals or their sorrows. You gotta let your hair grow long so everyone thinks you look like a hermit. You're separating yourself. The Nazirite's rites to greatness teaches us that there are two different methods of growing close to God. One is to join forces with other Jews and grow along with them. Nothing can match the power of community united in God's service. Just the Jewish people received the Torah only when they were bound together as one man with one heart. Just in had Shavuos with that. Yishachar Levachat. So can they best absorb its wisdom only when they come together to plumb its depth jointly. Not always, however, is this option available. Not every community is ripe for joint effort to scale the mountain of God. In that case, the alternative to follow the Nazirite's example pursue a relationship with God by withdrawing from the community and focusing narrowly on one's personal growth. That's done, power of the individual. And we talked about the power of the Nazir and the Kohen Gadol, that the Kohen Gadol also has a Nezer Kodesh, as the Tzitz is, and the Nazir has this Nezer, this crown, that you can basically, anybody can become as holy as a Kohen Gadol.
That's can I ask a question, Abba?
Yeah.
And maybe you'll answer this later. But Arshul was talking about like this idea of like community, and I feel like I'm thinking like current Jewish life is very communal central, I guess would be the word. And I hear that, and I see, you know, like with my students that like that's sort of the structure of life. We do think we daven together, we learn together, we celebrate, so like a simcha together. Like community is the base of our life. Where is the like Nazirus today? Like where, what about for those individuals, those Dani people who need to like do their own thing and serve God like that? Like we don't have a space for those people. Or like what is the modern day?
And that's, all right. And that's like, interesting. I know where I'm going with the fact that Dan is not good. Or it's not all good. That there's a problem with that. So you're saying
it's not like gam the gam. You're saying.
Yeah.
Because, like, we don't
encourage. Everything is very, right, you're right. Everything is, what's there it? Isn't any room for being a hermit.
Isn't, like, what is it, isn't that one of the, like the kofar of Ikar, like, if you, like, hotzia tatzmo min haklal, right? That's, like, the Russia.
Right.
Like,
right.
That
we're
is definition
first,
of
the we're going to talk about
that. Jew. Okay.
Right. I think, and I guess my answer would be is that we as Jews are so far into the individual, we have to kind of push ourselves to community.
Oh, you're saying we're
If we right, if we didn't push the community, we would all end up being a whole nation of individuals. That's the whole two Jews, three opinions thing. The shul I don't go to. That would that if we encourage a Nazirut option, then everybody would take it.
Right, right. Let me do my own thing. Don't tell me what to do. Let me.
And that's kind of dealing with kind of, you know, all this discussion now, but how do I pull back from COVID when we all sat at home?
Right. That was in the, was that in the YU?
Yes.
The Shavuos
ago. Right. Yeah. How do we pull back? Because it's so easy to go with this. And the Torah kind of implies that, because you look at the, what happens to the Nazir at the end of the Nazirut, right? Source 15. This is the procedure for Nazir. When he finishes his term, he's taken a vow. It's got to be time limited. And he brings himself to the Olmoed. He brings his karbanot. He brings an ola. He brings his karbanot. He brings an ola. And he brings a lamb for a chatat offering, for a sin offering. And a ram for a shlamim. The question is always, why does a Nazir bring a chatat? Why does he bring a sin offering here? And like the Ramban, there are some things because he's bringing a sin offering because he ended his Nazir. That was so holy before that he has to atone for having stopped. The Gemara in Tanis says the other way around. He's bringing a chatat because he took a vow of being a Nazir. Amar Shmuel, kol yoshev b'tanit nikra tchotah. Someone who sits and makes his own fast days up is called a sinner. Because he holds like the following braita, Rabbi Elazar HaKapar, Rabbi, the son of Rabbi Omer, says, and the Nazir has to atone from what he sinned against his soul. What does that mean? What kind of sin did the Nazir do? He held himself back from wine. Usually explained as, well, you're holding yourself back from enjoying the fruits of the world, but I think here, after I wrote this, Hirsch basically says this, that the chatat is the fact that he separated himself from the community. He has to bring a shlamim.
The wine is like the least of the problems. That's not...
But the whole thing, that's what he pointed out. That, you know, that by not drinking wine and not being tamimit, you're taking yourself out of the joys and the sorrows of the community. You're separating yourself out. So you have to bring a shlamim, which by definition has to be eating with everybody else because it has to be eaten in 2 days and you got to eat a whole ram. You can't do that yourself. We talked about that before. Right? I don't have enough friends to eat a whole ram. You have to invite everybody there to join you. You have to bring a katat because that's problematic. And this is the Rambam that you were saying here about the Kofar Minik, the Kofar B'Ikar. Approach midarchei tzibur, someone who separates from the ways of the community, abo pishlo abar averot, even though he didn't do anything specific wrong, Ela Nibda Me'adat Yisrael separates himself from the community. Eino se mitzvot b'cholah and doesn't do the mitzvot with them. Lo nichzav b'saratan, lo mitaneh b'tani tan, and doesn't join their suffering and doesn't fast on their fast days. Ela lech b'darcho ke'echa migoy ha'aretz, goes in his own way like any other nation. You eino mehen eino chelak elam haba. Such a person has no chelak elam haba.
Although this seems to be a little bit different because he's saying that. Oh, I guess it's easy, even though he's not an Oved. Okay, yeah, no, never mind.
Right, you're doing nothing specific wrong, but in fact, you're not joining the community is enough to take away your Olam Haba. So I'm going to go a little bit way that, you know, the symbol of Dan is that snake, right?
Yeah.
That was the metaphor in Yaakov's vision. Dan, Nachash Alei Derech. And that was, you know, if you have every shul has little pictures of the Shvatim around the Aron Kodesh and all that, and Dan was always a snake. This is again the Midrash describing it, that each tribe had their own flag. Every prince had their flag with its colors and its signs. Reuven had the Dudaim, the mandrakes. Yudah was Aryeh, the lion, and Dan Mitzir Alav Nachash. And Dan's symbol was the snake, Hashem, he Dan Nachash. And Ephraim was the shore, was the ox, right, from Yosef. Bechor Sharon. The thing is that it's interesting that Ibn Ezra had a different version. This is why Ibn Ezra puts the same otot, the same symbols. There were signs on each flag. And Chazal said, So the Degel Reuven struck Adam, that Reuven had a person. We call the rest Dudaim, because the Dudaim, the mandrakes, would look like people. So we call a stylized person versus flowers. They look the same. Degel Yehudah struck Aryeh, he broke Yishuv Yaakov, and that Yehuda had the lion, because that was Yaakov's bracha. Degel Ephraim struck Shur, Mitam Bachor Shur, that Ephraim was the ox. Degel Dan struck Nesher, and Dan had a eagle, a nesher. Why those four things? The person, the human being, the lion, the ox, and the eagle. That's from the test. Yecheskel, right? Actually, Yidim Kruvim Shor Yecheskel. Yecheskel had a vision of the Merkava.
Oh, this is what we read last week. Or
Shavuos. Right. On Shavuos, right. That's the part that we always do after everyone's up all night on Shavuos, because you're not supposed to teach the Merkava in public, so everyone's sleeping during that Torah. So you don't have to worry about that.
Dreaming, or is this really what it says?
Right, this is what it describes, right. And, you know, I talk about that. Obviously, okay. The Kruvim and Kisei HaKavod and Isha Ked on there obviously can't be literal, but it's whatever synesthetic that Yechezkel's brain interpreting it. But yeah, the Merkava is carried by these angels have the four, well, these four animals, four creatures. Humans, lions, ox, and eagles. And I've always said that that represents the Machane Israel, right? Those are the four camps surrounding the Mishkan, because that's what carries the Shekhinah in the world. The Kruvim represent Bnei Israel. And that we need all of those four parts there. We talk about Yehuda's symbolic role and Ephraim's symbolic role and Reuben's symbolic role and Dan's symbolic role. And we need all of those together in order to carry the Shekhinah. And that's what the Kruvim represent. And it's interesting, another example of sort of Dan's role as the individual is, because when they built the Mishkan, it's Yehuda, and there was a representative of Dan in the building the Mishkan as well. And Rashi says, from the least elite of the Shvatim, Bnei Shvachot, one of the maidservants. Yeshua Makom Betzalel, and he had the equivalent place to Betzalel, Lamlachat Mishkan, building the Mishkan. Hug Megidolei Shvatim, and he's from the most important Sheva, the leadership. He's from Yehuda. And Mashneamar Lonikar Shoa Lifnei Dal, that Hashem never withholds anyone's reward, even from the poor. That's what Dan. An important part of building the Mishkan. So you have two different versions of this symbol of Dan. Either it's a snake, a nachash, or a nesher, which I just translated as an eagle, but that's wrong. You knew that, right?
Yeah, Aaron always talks about this.
Okay.
Like us.
No. So the actual, poetically, you can translate it as an eagle because vulture doesn't have the right connotation in English.
Also, like al kanfei nesharim, like I don't really want to go on his back, you know, like it.
Okay.
Nesher has but that like
actual magic bird. Yeah, it is in fact a vulture, the long neck. You know, it's just a neck with wings, basically. But my argument is that sort of in terms of the stylized symbol of on the flag, you could look at it either as a winged snake, as the Kruvim, as that part of the Kruvim, or as a winged vulture. Same thing. And you have a choice of how you look at it. So Dan could be symbolized by the Nesher or the snake. And that's an important part about Dan symbolism. Because Dan was a tribe for those who didn't fit in anywhere. Talking about Dan was the one that traveled in the back, he was the Masef L'chol Machanot. That's Rashi says that about that. That Talmud the Yerushalmi says, the Fisha Yashiv Toshel Dan Rubim Bechusin, because Dan was so populous. And you know, Seya Bachrona, they would travel in the back and they would spread out in the wilderness. And anyone who would lose anything, Dan would pick it up. Someone from Dan would pick up the stuff that people would drop behind them as they were traveling, and then they would return it. And this is Shira, you know Shira Smiles?
Yeah.
You've heard that?
I think she used to teach at Dar Chai Bina, but
yes.
I've heard some of her things online. I don't think I ever heard her in person.
No, I've heard her online, but this is one of her articles from the OU. Or no, from Mishpacha. Okay. In the encampment of the Midbar, Dan was the last tribe to move. It was Dan's job to gather in those people who fell behind. This applied not just on a physical level. People's spiritual level had dropped, who were therefore lagged behind their own tribe, could be absorbed into Dan, would raise their madrig, enabling them to return to the rightful place. So Dan became this kind of, the tribe of the individuals, right? If you didn't fit anywhere, then you'd be part of Dan.
It's like not ideal, but like, it's okay. Like,
right, and really acknowledging that, I would say more than okay, it's important. We got to have it done. We don't have a place for them in the community because they can't be part of the community, right? There's no structure there at all. And Nazir gives it some structure, but we don't even have that anymore. But we have to acknowledge the individual there, because that's the story of Shimshon, how dangerous individualism is, right? Shimshon goes off the deep, you know, he marries non-Jewish women, he goes completely separates from the community. Who's rejected by Bnei Yisrael still ends up being a mother shoftim, and this is continuing back for more of that discussion of the offering of Sheva Dan. They bring a Mizrak, a casting bowl for throwing the blood, but saying the Chacham and Mizrak. Why is it called the Mizrak, that which is throwing? To Mizrak Shimshon Menachav, because Shimshon was thrown out of his brethren. He was on his own. So Ratzel Yisrael Ishim Nor Achav, because he didn't want to marry a Jewish woman. He married the Plishtim, and basically all those Plishtim there. That Dan is the power of one, the outsider. And that was part of Knesset Yisrael, but the symbolism there is that it can either be the eagle or the snake, depending on how you look at it.
No, I was asking, like, how do you apply each of those animals?
Well, snake is the lowest of the low. All alone, not part of a herd or a pride or a pack. And interesting is eagle, of course, that's in English that works better. You know, is highest of the high also, kind of all on its own. And you can go either way. You have to be very careful with it. But both symbols are possible. The Dan is.
You're saying the Nesher is like the good version and the snake is the bad version.
Right. Both of them are true. It's a dialectic. And that's what Dan symbolizes. That's what Dan's offering in the eyes of the Midrash. That's what Dan's offering symbolizes. That's what the Nazir symbolizes. Yes, it's good. And yes, it's bad. And both those are simultaneously true. So be your own person, but you have to be part of the community as well. And if you're going to go on your own way, it has to be like the Nazir, time limited.
I'm thinking of like my students. Like I know some people who just, it's like painful for them to do what everyone else is doing. And like, I could imagine that like the Nazir option would be like, oh yeah, that's interesting. Like they don't want. Like, it doesn't matter what it is that everyone else is doing. They don't want to do that just because everyone else is doing it. But I don't.
Right.
Like, but that's not.
So we don't have that option. We don't have the option at all.
Even if they're doing holy things, it's still, like you said, time limited. It's not.
Yeah, we don't have the, and you don't have the option of taking, you know, a netter of isolation for a little bit. One of Rav Cook's students famously took a neder of Nizirut. And that was the rest of his life because he couldn't bring the carbon at the end. He kind of knew that. But that's, you kind of look at that, go get a carbon person being weird.
Hmm. The Nazir. Wait, so he was just a Nazir for his whole life?
Right. I mean, from the point that he took the. Not cut hair and avoid too much mit and. Not drink wine or grape juice.
But I'm thinking of like the Rambam, like there's no way that he would have lived a normal Jewish life because no matter what he does, he's always going to be the odd one out.
Right.
I'm thinking like, oh, you could still like go to a simcha and just not drink the wine, but like everyone's making kiddush and you're not. Like it's
right. You're right. It's like you being are a vegetarian. Explicitly separate, which is it's interesting that you say I hadn't thought about that. That you know that we that there probably should be some place for that within the structure of going on your, you know, being on your own, not being over any avero, but really just.
Well, I like your own to that.
I'm sorry.
No, but I like your response. Is your response is no? Our netia is to always be individualistic, and I do my own thing. That's what everyone says. Like I have my own way. Like we're so individualistic that like it's that's what fills in all the cracks. Like halavai, we should make sure to keep those communal pieces. I think that's a great response.
Okay. Good, thank you.
Like if you're telling me that you can't handle the communal pieces and you like I have to do my own, then. Right, there's so much. Yeah, I feel like that's more of an American thing, though. Like the, I mean, again, if you're a Japanese Jew, so you're in a collectivist society with a collectivist religion. I mean, I don't.
Yeah, I mean, just think about Israel. I mean, that yes, it's about as it's still authoritarian, much more authoritarian than the U.S., but still, everyone's gonna do their own thing and is gonna. Push really hard in the individual side of it.
Right.
And they've got to be pulled back together.
Right. It's, we right. like, we're
not Japanese culture.
What?
We're not going to be Japanese culture if you're a Japanese Jew.
Right. But like, it's true though. Like, we really.
The Americans copied the Jews, not the other way around. Nobody Sacks always talks about that.
What do you mean? America has copied the Jews?
In terms of the culture of individualism.
The American individualism, though, is not that I'm going to do what's best for me. It's I'm going to do what's best for me, regardless of if it's good for everybody else. At least, like, Jewish individualism says, I'm going to do what's best for me because I know that I have unique talents and responsibilities. At the end of the day, me being my best me will contribute to the cloud. American individualism is, I'm going to be the best me because who cares?
I think you're being too hard on the American individual side.
No, I was just looking at a quote. Actually, one of my students hung it up on the wall. Like, you know, don't listen to whatever anyone else says. Like, just do whatever it says in your heart or one of those things like that, which is cute. But when you think about it, it means like you're not looking at the bigger picture about what my, you know, the effect of my actions or my choice to have on other people. It's just like, no, I don't feel like doing this today. So like, who are you, you know, don't tell me that I should be a part of this. Don't, like.
I mean, I think it's part of the dialectic is that, you know, you got to be both the individual and part of the community.
Mm.
And you can, and pushing either way too hard is a problem.
Right.
We need to, in these sort of Kabbalistic literary terms, we need to be both a part of Yosef and Dan.
Who is Don today?
What do you mean?
Like, I don't know. I was like, we know who the Kohanim and the Levim are.
Yeah. We don't have any, we don't divide any of the Shvatim at this point. We don't know who the, you know, we're all part of these tribes here.
I just find it interesting because, again, we keep, you know, like we're talking about the individual and that each Shevet has like a different. Something to bring to the table and way of serving God, but
right. And I think in this term, these terms, I don't know that the actual people who lived in these Shvatim, every single one had these characteristics. No,
well, especially from Don, if there was one guy who was going to stand up, then that means that there was however many other hundreds of thousands.
These are the I would try to put it as literary tropes, symbolism of Don through Tanakh, the symbolism of Yosef. Symbolizes that. I'm going to stop the recording here.